Hello, everybody. This is NBL Overtime, all thanks to LD Mobile, wherever you might be. Hashtag NBL Overtime to get involved. Now, before we get to everything that's happening, a couple of things to touch on. Firstly, due to time constraints, we are recording this before the Kings and the Bullets go at it. So, to the team that won, good job. To the team that lost, couple of things you need to work on. We'll get to that in next week's episode. Secondly, to the Red Army, you're up. You're up in the background. You're going to be able to see Bryce Cotton in the corner over the course of the show. So don't say we don't listen to social media. You've been hitting on us. We agree. The Wildcats are on the background. Now that's out of the way. What up, man?
What's going on?
Amasai, what's going on, brother?
Not much. Another day in paradise. Mm-hmm. A lot to talk about.
A lot.
Let's get to it.
A lot. The new schedule as well for the next couple of weeks is being released today. And Liam Santa Maria, Studs and Duds up. NBL.com.au. Hello to you.
Hello. Big round. Mm-hmm. Jeez, it's an absolute feast of hoops right now. Lots of fun games. But I tell you what.
Yeah.
My favourite moment of the last week of hoops was this.
In over 10 years, this guy, Cam Oliver, I'm sorry. Definitely not Cam Luke.
Finally.
There it is.
Finally. Finally some respect. Finally, firstly, to you, Homicide. Thank you. As I
saw. Oh, my God. That is the illest image of the season. And it just started. Oh, my God.
Dude, how deep in your head is this, man?
I'm living rent-free.
Honestly, Cam Oliver's a superstar.
Hey, I'm living rent-free in his head. I want to give firstly a shout-out to you. Thank you for the respect.
And
a shout-out to our man Handyman on Twitter. He's a huge basketball guy. Great. And, of course, in fact, just on Handy as well, got some health challenges in the last couple of years. So big shout out to you. You're a huge part of the basketball community. Love that.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. And good luck. We're thinking of you. And we'll grab a beer. We'll get to Sydney. Thank you, my man. Appreciate it.
That should be your profile pic.
It's going up. And that is the end of the show because that covered everything.
That pretty much is all we needed to touch on.
I hope. I'm assuming when we get to the top 10 plays of the week, my face is going to be superimposed on that dunk. All right. Now that has been done. Let's start with the Wildcats because us three, amongst many others, and the very fact that we've been talking about the Wildcats and we weren't quite sure they have the talent, it still remains to be seen. But Homicide, I'm going to start with you because all they had to do was win opening game for them. They had to wait a little longer, and they did. Phoenix come into town, but in the end, Bryce Cotton, this man was huge, and the Wildcats are one and zip.
Look, there's a reason Bryce Cotton is the greatest import to ever play in this league. He's going to do what he needs to do. That's nothing new. Mooney is the guy I want to talk about. This gentleman came in. The stats are a little bit off, so correct me if I'm wrong. Pardon me if I'm wrong. 14 points, 15 rebounds, and this play right here was the most impressive play. He went, and then he hyped up the Red Army, so you know he's going to be a favorite.
Wait till he sees a full crowd in that joint.
Oh, my goodness. Like, this is just an unbelievable, great heads-up play by the rookie. I was very impressed with his debut with his new team.
And it just exemplified how much he hunts rebounds. Oh, my God. He just goes up and gobbles them up like he's the gobble doc with Smith Chips, John Mooney. And really impressive. Bryce Cotton, oh, my God. I mean, he just continues to do what needs to be done, especially in crunch time. And the system, how about big Tom Jervis? Oh, my goodness. 8 points, 5 boards, having not played for a couple of years. That was incredible. And the system just continues to tick along. And in crunch time, I mean, the Phoenix were leading this game with 5 minutes to play, and the Wildcats then reeled off a 20-3 run to completely run away with the game. And Travers was impressive as a DP. Look, it's one game, it's one win at home, sure, but there was a lot of great signs for the Red Army to like from that opening game.
I can tell you this, sorry to cut you off.
Hit me.
I really wasn't impressed with them winning this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, I believe, gave the game away. 20 turnovers on the road. You know, no venue you're going to win a game with 20 turnovers. Definitely not REC Arena. I believe they gave the game away. Think about it. They were up the majority of this game, and Kiefer Sykes had a bad game. Mm. You know, and so you take care of the ball. It was sloppy, careless turnovers, and they didn't box out. Those are the two biggest things you have to do in any game, let alone in RAC Arena. So if they take care of the ball and rebound, they win the game. So I wasn't really that impressed with them, with Perth winning that game.
I agree with you, but if you're the Red Army or you're Trevor Gleeson, you're coming in, you're stepping straight out of quarantine. They'd been in quarantine for 14 days. They could come out and train, sure, but they weren't living their normal lives. There were a lot of boxes ticked. You want to say, well, how's John Mooney going to go at the pro level? Tick. How's Tom Jervis going to look, having not played forever? Tick. How's Todd Blanchfield going to go, teaming up with Bryce Cotton, the kickouts, playing that second fiddle, 16 points? Tick. Luke Travers, can he hold his own as a starting power forward for us if we need him to? Well, he was playing against Mitch Creek, and Creaky didn't have a big influence, so big tick there as well. A lot of room to improvement, to improve, yes. I think they ticked a lot of boxes in that first game.
Agree. Also agree that South East Melbourne Phoenix will be a fair bit of frustration. Simon Mitchell, because they've been in a position to maybe be undefeated right about now. We know they lost that game to Adelaide. They were able to bounce back. They had chances to win on the weekend at Perth. So we'll get to the Phoenix a little later on, because we need to talk about New Zealand now, because they had the delayed start as well. Then they had a hell of a game on Friday night against the Adelaide 36ers. Where do you want to start? But you know what? We're going to start with Isaac Humphries, because I think we somewhat underrated him. Mainly the fact is that we had more to talk about Josh Giddey, but Isaac Humphries has come in. I'm going to go straight to you, Liam, because he's been big.
Yeah, he was an enormous presence, right? A huge, huge line, 20 and 10 double-double with 3 blocks off a triple-double. I liked his energy post-game with John Casey. He was up and about, but I want to talk about this guy.
I can see that. My apologies, Liam. I should have just let it go.
I want to talk about Ty Webster. Was fun. Talk about energy. He brought all kinds of it. Lamar Patterson has a ways to go to get to where he needs to be. But I like their chemistry early on as well. Late in the game, put it in Lamar's hands for periods of time, and he will make plays like it look like he does right there at the defensive end, turning defense into offense, but also putting Ty Webster off the ball. They made a nice connection, those two. And talk about giving games away. The Breakers gave this game away. Yes, the officials didn't call the foul in the backcourt, but I don't know why Lamar Patterson played for it to the extent that he did. And then Tom Abercrombie with an absolute brain fade with the deliberate foul when they didn't need to. So I think that they really should have won this game. And this is a team that hasn't played much in the preseason, still has a lot of room for improvement. But I was suitably impressed by Ty Webster. He did what we expected him to do, and he's a stud.
Everything you said is right. Ty Webster, he's the real deal, you know? I'm always that guy that if you're gonna talk about it, you better be about it. And I was definitely impressed, and he is about it. I even love the fact that his brother tweeted. He was like, he's gonna eat Giddey for lunch. He's coming to eat. And he came to eat. 34, that's not in a 40-minute game. He's about his business. I'm looking forward to him to have a huge season this year. And I can't wait for Corey to get back, which is shortly. So I got them to go to the grand finals. I'm sticking with that.
You made that call in July in the offseason.
Yes, I did.
Will Corey don the headband as well? They'll be the headband brothers, do you think, Homicide?
I don't know, but I just know I'm looking forward to seeing those brothers on the court together.
Too. I flagged a week or so ago my concerns about Colton Iverson. Geez, they've got a bit of a problem to solve with regards to their big fella, right? They signed this guy to the EuroLeague. The idea was sound. We're like, we've got all these scoring pieces. We don't need a guy who's going to demand the ball and demand shots. We need a guy who's going to set picks, clean guys up as a result, protect the rim, gobble up rebounds, roll to the basket. And that's the idea around Colton Iverson. But look, he's come in out of shape. He's running in mud. Dan Shamir has no faith in him right now. And the guy that exists on their roster right now, he can't play in this league. As it stands at the moment, and have a big impact. The fours and the fives are too mobile for him. Needs to shed, get right, and to be able to have an impact for this team.
So just on that though, how hard is it to replace an import in 2021? Because you need to have someone in quarantine for 2 more weeks. So the fact is the Breakers, we've got a lot of games to come and the Breakers are included into that. Do you take the risk? Now we're 1 game in, keep that in mind as well. But I agree with everything you're saying. But do you take the risk and cut him, or do you say, I'm bringing someone else into quarantine, knowing that for 2 weeks the guy's still... Like, it is a very tough balancing act, not just with the Breakers, but with any team over the next couple of months, or probably the entire season, when it comes to thinking about making a change.
Really tough to do.
Yeah.
More tougher than ever before, ever. Right? But look, the New Zealand Breakers, they did that at the start of last season, right? They start with one guy, they end up with Brandon Ashley. I reckon...
Yeah, but there's no 2 weeks.
No, I get you.
That's
I get
thing.
You. But I reckon... And I was chatting with Damian Martin about this during the week last week. I reckon that if you need to do it this year, you need to do it early.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later. Get those quarantine done, and then you've got the guy to build for the rest of the year. Harder to make that change late. And I look at that squad right now and think, geez, I'd love to have Brandon Ashley in there in that spot.
All right. Now, as usual, I didn't read the rundown, so now let's get to Adelaide. And I want to start with Isaiah Comfrey because he was huge. We've got him in the backdrop. And I'll say it again. I think he was kind of forgotten because of the Josh Giddey pizzazz that we've all got. And that's rightfully so. But Isaiah Comfrey has been huge. He's only getting better. And he's very vocal about him being here, Homicide. I know you love him. He wasn't far off a triple-double on the weekend, which is remarkable when it comes to the block stats. Fire away on the big man.
24, 11, and 7 blocks. That was huge. He said to us game day in round one, he's so excited to be back in this league because he's grown so much and he wants to show everybody how much he's grown and how better that he got as far as his game and improving. And we're seeing it. I think for me, the combination with him and DJ is going to be vital for this team to do well down the stretch. And look, DJ is DJ, right? Mm-hmm. If he continues to play to this level, I mean, he's not going to block 7 shots every game, but to give that 20 and 10, they'll always be in a position to win a game. You know DJ is going to do what he needs to do. The key for this team is Donald Sloan, Crocker, and Dech. If they can combine all three of them for about 40 points every night, they will always be in the game because, like, again, DJ Humphries, these guys are going to be damn near 20-10 every night. Those three need to combine for a total of 40 points. Donald Sloan bounced back in the third game with 20 points, and he's going to have to continue to play big.
I want to shout out one name there from the Adelaide 36ers that you didn't mention. I agree with everything that you just said, but give some love to Coach Henry. Because they've ground out a couple of wins here at the start of this season that no one really expected them to get. And they were in losing positions in both of them. And every man and his dog has an opinion about what Coach Henry should be doing with his lineup and starting and minutes and so on and so forth, what he should be doing with his imports. But I think he's actually done a really good job of working this team into this season. And moving things around, starting Giddey, bringing him out, Donald Sloan, do you know what? We need to find a way to get you going. Not easy to bring a guy like that off the bench after a slow start to the season with all his NBA experience and get the buy-in that you need to get. Well, he got it, comes out, makes a huge play down the stretch. The way he played Crocker and Dech on Patterson and Webster and switched that to find the better matchup, and Dech had Patterson on lock in the last few possessions down in that game, causing turnovers and creating misses, and also finding a way to work Isaac Humphries into the season and get him going in a good way. So I think Coach Henry's coached really well in the first couple of weeks of this season.
There's no yes or no, but Isaac Humphries, I'm going to say yes. He'll be a part of the Boomer squad, right?
Squad?
Yeah.
Camp?
Not team, but he'll be in camp.
Should be there.
Yeah, he should be. What is he, 22, 23?
23.
He's still a kid. And I know he spent a lot of time overseas, of course, at college and then G League and all the rest of it, but sometimes we lose track of, you know, how young some of these kids are. He's come straight in and been great. And you and I commentated that game last week against the Phoenix. And we commented already, even in the early days, what you just touched on, how him and DJ already seem to have this rapport that's only going to get stronger as the season. And hopefully for Adelaide 36ers fans, the years does continue. All right. Are we going to talk about the Oliver dunk, or are we just going to leave it with me throwing it down over Moeller and Geordie Hunter? We got to talk about it because I reckon I had 15 text messages. Dunk of the decade. Let's have a look. Talk us through it, Homicide.
The strength, the athleticism. He dunked on those two so hard. Craig Moeller fell. We know Craig Muller's a great rim protector. And he's athletic. And the power that was behind that dunk dropped. He bounced off him and just fell to the floor. This was the most disrespectful dunk for sure I've seen this decade. And I'm talking about in basketball, NBA, overseas, high school, college. That was disrespectful.
Unbelievable dunk. Like, right up there. I actually have written today, best dunk I've seen in the NBL.
I said that.
And I've got I've gone through and I went back and I watched all these great dunks over and over and over, right? I mean, let's have a look at a couple of them that have been... I've always liked this one from James Crawford over Brad Dalton, mainly because of Brad Dalton rolling up in the fetal position.
Oh, my God.
And calling for mum on the floor. I mean, that's a good one, but there's been even better, of course. We remember... look at this, James Smith. This is probably... the second best. That was the number one dunk in NBL history for me, just soaring over the 36ers. We remember Prather over Ogilvy in the grand final series a few years ago. And look, Ira Clark, what he did for the Gold Coast a few years back, that was just filthy. Talk about disrespectful. But that one from Cam Oliver, I have at the top because of all the things Corey just said. This was also very... you got to have someone jump with you. I reckon takes it to a whole nother level, dunking on someone. I don't have much experience dunking on people, I got to say. But from an aesthetic perspective, it takes it to another level. But Cam Oliver over the double poster.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Rising above, putting Craig Moller on the floor... The strength and power. Corey on the broadcast talking about Dominic Wilkins. Sean Kemp was bang on. Loved it.
I agree.
That dunk was crazy.
But
number one.
That for sure is the best. If that was for sure.
I need to go
he
back.
He bodied two people in one fell.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not. Ooh. I need to go back and find some vision. I couldn't find it. There was a dunk that Isaac Burton did in the 1996 season where he put it right on Daniel Egan when they were playing against the Melbourne Tigers. There'll be people out there who'll know what I'm talking about. I'm not even suggesting the Burton dunk was better, but it is. That's in the conversation.
And look, there's others that we did show, right? Kendrick Johnson.
What he was able to do. We're going to get to Cairns in a moment, but let's talk about Landale v. Oliver, because Oliver has been pretty good to start the year as well. But let's talk about last night, because Landale and Oliver were both really good. Landale in particular. We'll start with you, Liam. What did you make of last night? The two big boys going at it.
Yeah, premium big man matchup, of course. The All-NBL second teamer from last season, Cam Oliver, and the superstar that has joined Melbourne United, Jock Landale. And I enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, geez, who got... the better of it, I'd say Landale. Mm-hmm. They got the win for sure, and he was very, very impressive. Showed the whole arsenal, really, from long range, around the bucket, mid-range, shot fake, one dribble. It was a beautiful thing. And he's just warming his way into the league as well, Jock Landale. He's just getting warmed up. Now, there's some other... Isaac Humphries is killing. Jarrell Martin sitting behind you on the backdrop.
We'll get to
he's
the Kings.
Going to be enormous this season, but... that was certainly very, very fun, Landale versus Oliver.
You lost your mind last night when Landale gave that little pump fake, took a dribble, 15-footer, and that's when I felt you were converted.
I always need to see things with my own eyes. I always want to see certain matchups against key players, what players do. Jock Landale is the real deal. I saw him a little bit with the Boomers, but that's not enough. I want to see you in a domestic league. And I'm seeing it. We're seeing it. He showed me everything. The most impressive part was not even offense, right? I was impressed with that package, but defensively, twice, he was able to guard Scott Machado. Scott Machado put him in a series of moves between the legs, hesitations, all kind of moves. He was still able to stay in front of him and guard him from the three-point line, met him at the basket and blocked his shot twice. It was two key plays. Lateral movement, the ability to guard a smaller, quicker, craftier defender. I mean, offensive point guard. Scott Machado is legit. We know this. This is the best point guard in the league. If he could do that on a guy like that twice, this guy's legit, man. He's throwing alley-oops to Jack White from the key. Like, there's nothing he can't do, and it's game two. He's happy. He's home. We spoke to him when we interviewed him, and just, you know, the ability to know where he was going to be here in a league that he know is thriving, and this is a legit pathway to where he wants to go. This is, what more do you want? And the biggest thing about it, he talks the talk. He got the swagger. He got the bravado. He got the bravery. He came out and said, I believe we can be undefeated. So now he has to play at that level every night because he has to hold himself accountable after those remarks he said. And believe me, as we all see it, he's welcoming the challenge. And I'm excited to see him, and just like everybody else, watch him rise and cover him this season.
All right, now, Big shout out to Jack White too. I think he's had a really great start.
Shout out to Jack White.
But
and Udeh Bubba.
Udeh Bubba. Yo, listen.
Hang on.
They got a crew.
They have.
Wallet,
oh, most improved. I called it. He will be. Now, but we need to touch on Cairns. On a scale of 1 to 10, how under the pump are they? 1 and 3, all been at home. How under the pump?
They're not under the pump yet.
Liam.
They're under the pump.
Fire away.
Well, you open the season with all these home games. You gotta win a few of them at least, right? Like 1 and 3, and it's not just the results as well. It's what's taken place and what Mike Kelly's seeing from his squad. Huge issues at the defensive end, having all kinds of trouble staying in front of people, having all kinds of trouble being on the same page, communicating, just standing up and defending. And I'm looking at guys like Kawhat Noi, Mirko Jerick, Majuk Deng, the guys we flagged at the start of the season, who need to be really good at that end of the floor for that team this season for them to do what we thought they were going to do. And look, Mike Kelly made the change for that last game, and he brought Majuk Deng off the bench, started Fabian Krzyzlewicz. Now, that's not what you want to be doing. You don't want to have to be doing that because guys aren't defending at the level that you need. Now, they were able to work their way back into that game against Melbourne. They had a shot to win. Terrific. But I think he has big concerns at the defensive end. He said after the loss to Sydney, we're not defending at a championship level. They're not defending at a playoff level. They're not defending at a level to be involved in that, even that conversation of that playoff bubble right now. And I think they've got, I mean, if you were him, you would feel under the pump, not just with the results, but with what you're seeing out there on the floor.
Why aren't you
round
concerned?
Two, why nobody's concerned? Under the pump in mm-hmm. round two. You know how many games we play in this year?
A lot.
Ain't nobody under the pump yet. It's too early. We got to adjust a couple of things, and that's it. But how did they start last year? They weren't under the pump last year in round two. What was their record last year?
I think they might have been 1-3, 1-4 early.
And what happened?
Well, they went all the way to the playoffs.
And what happened? They lost one game to mm-hmm. go to the grand finals. Mm-hmm. They ain't under the pump.
Okay.
Yeah. Ahead of the season, one of the things I said that they need to make sure they do, they need to turn that snag pit into a fortress.
Are they missing...
Right. Hold on. Playing 36 games this season? Mm-hmm. Sure. You're going to play 8 of them down here in Melbourne during the cup. You only got those 14 home games, right? Well, they're 4 down. 1-3 in that stretch. They've only got 10 left. Haven't turned that place into a fortress at all. That's a big cross in that box so far. And, I think they're doing some uphill skiing at this point.
Hashtag NBL Overtime. Orange Army, let us know what your thoughts are at NBL. Now, I wasn't going to play the top 10 players of the week because I assume I am number one. But I've been told I have to do it all thanks to LD Mobile. Take it away.
Round two is in the books, and you know this one's gonna cook. It's your Aldi Mobile NBL Top 10 at number 10. If you fail to box out Mojave King, you're just letting this athletic freak do his thing. The next star from New Zealand is dealing for Cairns at number 10. On to number 9, and working his way into the lane looking for a pocket pass is Keeper Sykes, who gets it to Mitch Creek for the big airstrike. The Phoenix have a dynamic duo combining for a hammer throw. That's in at number 9. At number 8, buckle up, folks, because we've got a theme alert. This week in the countdown space, Cam went berserk. Cam Oliver with a twist you won't want to miss, and he's in the top 10 for the first time at number 8. We're up to number 7 now, and it's the Breakers on the fly as Ty delivers the my oh my dime, sending Tom to the sky. Webster with the beautiful pass as Abercrombie delivers the rim smash. That's good for number 7. At number 6, Cam Oliver. Cleared for takeoff again as the Cairns big man hammers this one at the rim. Bringing the truth from the roof on the alley-oop, it's Space Cam once more. He's in at number 6. On to number 5, and we're late in the fourth. Adelaide down 3, and New Zealand's just got to keep their eye on the inbounds guy because Donald Sloan will let it fly. The late 3 evens it up, and the 36ers get in at number 5. In at number 4, check out the Kings racing down the floor. And just before the halftime buzzer, Sean Bruce flings this thing, and the circus must be in town because somehow that shot went down. The one-legged miracle 3 gets in at number 4. On to number three, where John Mooney's showing us how to get famous when you see your shot miss. Mooney missing that three, but goes on a rim spree, and the big man for the Wildcats cleaning up all the scraps, and that gets him in at number three. At number two, it's the Phoenix rising, and I mean really rising. Little Kiefer will make you a believer as Ben Moore delivers backdoor and Sykes getting off the floor for the score. Just 6 feet tall and hammering the ball, that's in at number two. But at number one, everyone on the planet knows what's coming because Space Camp flat unfurled, the dunk heard round the world. Cam Oliver's a rim stalker, and that's not good for my man Craig Mahler. Hang this one in the Louvre, cause the countdown is through. Space Cam, when he does finally land, is in at number one on the NBL Tournament.
I'll be honest, that dunk looks a little different than what's on my profile pic on socials, but it is huge. Number one on top 10 on SportsCenter, and you're right around the world. What a dunk.
Shout out to NBA Bo.
Yes.
The Goat Potato does a great job.
He does, and doesn't miss a game. Doesn't miss a game, doesn't matter, obviously, the time difference, but he's up late. All right, Santa's watching. Liam, take it away.
All right, let's start. Where do we start? Let's roll the vision and start in Adelaide because, oh boy, this stretch of play was horrible. And Cam, you ran out of breath trying to call it just quietly, but
I did, and then I apologise to the people around the country watching, and I stand by my apology.
It wasn't nice. Humphreys can't get any love. Shout out to Jared Walsh in the City of Churches there, and then he said, you know what, I'm going to make certain of it. I'm just going to come right in here to the right cheek.
You know what? And still didn't get much.
Give you a little... Keanu Pinder needs someone to help him put his shorts on.
Oh my goodness!
Because he's got those bad boys on backwards. What do we got here? This look from Chris Levick was way off.
Oh man,
that was a long way off. And poor Nate, he thought he had the two-hand throwdown here. He was winding up, and then whoop, lost it. The big fella, and then Corey.
Oh.
Yep.
What does it say? The royal treatment for the king himself.
That's fair.
Goodness me, you've had a nice week.
Yeah, I've had a nice week. How's your string?
Still got it. Still sore, yo. Huh? Still sore.
You just got a glass of bubbly. Yeah. Just getting the treatment.
Sometimes you got your self-care is the best kind of care, mate.
Hashtag NBL Overtime to get involved at Liam_Santa if you want to help him with a Santa's watching right around the country. All right, as we have to do each and every week because it is 2021, it's a little different when it comes to putting the schedule out. Round four has been unveiled today. If you haven't seen it, check this out right now. It's going to start with Brisbane and Melbourne on Thursday. And again, hoops, hoops and more hoops. We can't wait for it there. But I reckon there's something to come out of this. And I know, Liam, studs and duds, I did read it. Southeast Melbourne, Phoenix, just your quick thoughts on their start and where we look at for the next couple of weeks for them.
Who have they got here in this round four? They host the Hawks. You can see at the back end of that, you got some teams starting to come into Melbourne, right, in preparation for the NBL Cup, which is not too far away. I think it'll come in after round five. So you got the Hawks and the Wildcats coming into Melbourne at the back end of this schedule. Great to have round four out there ahead of the start of round three. We talk about who's under the pump. Yep. I got the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix under the pump a little bit. I think they've been frustrating to begin this season. I pump them up prior to opening night and think they're going to have a really good year. And, you know, I think that they weed that loss down their leg in Adelaide, the double overtime game, left 14 points on the free throw line, missed a whole bunch of open shots. They should have got that one. Then they go to the Perth and completely disintegrate down the stretch against the Wildcats. And I thought they were pretty disappointing in that one. I think there's pressure on them to win this game in Perth on Friday night, because then they've got to come and play Melbourne in Bendigo. Oh. They arrive in Bendigo in the wee hours of that morning. That's going to be a tough win. Pressure on the Phoenix for this Friday night.
Able to use wee twice when giving a crack to the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. I do like it. We've got to get out of here. Hashtag NBL Overtime. The Huddle tomorrow morning. Who you got?
I got Joe Ingles.
That's big.
He's loving it. He's loving the ball.
He's loving it.
You know what? And out of respect to Joe Ingles, this is going to be a lefty. Hashtag NBL Overtime to get involved. See you next week. Oh. Hit a light.
True to form.
See ya.